Welcome to EFT Nation, your home for all things tapping. For show notes and resources, please visit EFTTappingTraining.com. We are your tapping hosts. I'm Alina Frank.
And I'm Craig Wiener. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for counseling or medical advice. The information presented here is meant to inspire and educate listeners, but are not guarantees of any kind.
Today we're going to continue our series on doing deep dives on different emotions.
Yeah, different emotional states. There are many of them.
Yeah, right? we've done anger, sadness, and now we're getting into a very meaty topic, fear.
Fear and anxiety.
And because panic attacks, like that whole thing, we can kind of group
that that spectrum we're going to work with.
Right.
Fear. Phobia, anxiety, panic attacks, they just are so woven together.
Yeah. And it's actually one of the things that EFT is known for. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, back in the day, when even before EFT,
back with Thought Field Therapy.
Yeah, there was a program called the 5-Minute Phobia Cure.
Yeah, it was a book, Roger Callahan, who developed Thought Field Therapy, which was the predecessor before EFT. So this has a history. It was on, I think, Oprah and a variety of different television shows.
No, it wasn't Oprah. It was Merv Griffin.
Oh, my God. It goes way so much further back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about ways that fears can manifest in the most common ways.
Yeah.
Right? What are some of the most common? I think as we're actually doing this live, right? Yeah. A really, really, probably perhaps one of the most common fear, number one fears, is fear of public speaking.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
A lot of people, it's paralyzing. It feels like it's death. They're about to die.
I mean, it can affect up to like 3/4 of most people, I would say, have varying degrees of intensity of a fear of speaking publicly. Speaking in front of a group. It could be a small audience. And could show up in front of one's family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It could be presentation at school and university. It could be in front of, in so many different ways at work, et cetera. And, it's so much tied to social interaction and so much tied to judgment of self, based on judgment of others.
I mean, it was if you were judged by your group, you could face judgment and rejection
and be thrown out of the group. Right. And suddenly your survival
is
affected by that. So that has a long development. And, when we talk about fear of interaction with others, it's often can lead to, and we'll talk about the difference between fear and anxiety, but it could lead to a social anxiety disorder when taken to further extremes, right? What other fear of public speaking?
The second most common is fear of heights.
Yeah, and that one clearly is based on survival, right? Because falling off a mountain can result in death, right? So in other words, falling off a bridge, stepping off. So, this one is less, though. It was, maybe affects more like maybe 5-10% of the population that has a significant fear of heights and we're talking like to the level of even phobia.
Yeah.
Right? When we really talk, and we'll talk about some of those differences.
I find it interesting because that particular one, that fear is linked to vestibular dysfunction. So sometimes it could be tied to someone's visual spatial sensitivity. And so that could make them really hyper aware of height.
Mm-hmm. We know it's a serious survival, a threat to our survival. But even to the point, for example, of driving on a bridge.
Right?
Or walking at some altitude or on a ladder. All of those things.
Going up an elevator.
Right. I mean, an appropriate concern and mindfulness about being high is one thing. But taking to the point of shaking and avoiding those things, that's taking it to another level.
Right.
Number three, insects, animals, spiders, snakes, cockroaches, things like that. One of the earliest EFT studies was done on phobias of small animals and insects, actually. Very early study. So there's all the different subtypes of the different targets, like I was mentioning. And this, again, is around anywhere from 5-15% of the population.
Right. Yeah, so we are evolutionarily predisposed to having some kind of fear around something that's potentially dangerous or harmful.
Exactly. So it's not that they're wrong. right? There's a reason for them, but at what point does it cause us to freeze? At what point does it does it really influence where we live, where we walk, what we do? And especially if it's in places where we're not seeing them, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, they're kind of hidden, and that's where we move from the immediacy of fear of something that's in front of us to anxiety, to something that's vague and more unexpected and around the corner, and, you know, it has a very different quality to it.
I will say that for that one, what I have found is that sometimes the fear is inherited. The imprint was there from really young. So I can see, like, a client that they say, I don't even know where this comes from. I just know I'm afraid of snakes. Sometimes it's because they saw their mother react to a snake or a mouse. They saw a parent.
Yeah. So that's learned, not inherited.
Yeah, right. So learned.
Okay.
Learned. Okay. And then also
learned through observation as opposed to a direct traumatic experience.
An imprint.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Like an imprinting.
Okay. You know, other fears that people, common ones, fear of death, fear of flying is a very common one we work with, fear of the dark, fear of closed spaces.
Right.
All these have all their phobic technical names for the names of them, but that's essentially what they are that have, you know, that impact a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. And ones that may well come to you if you're an EFT practitioner for somebody to try to resolve those things. Right.
Yeah. And I find it interesting, but not a surprise, is that there is definitely a gender difference in things like anxieties and fears and phobias.
And I'm going to let you say what that difference is.
Well, women are twice as likely as men to experience anxiety disorders across all age groups and cultures. And so that includes, like, generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, phobias, PTSD, social anxiety, and OCD are greater. They have higher rates in women, and I find it really interesting. So what could be some of the contributing factors? Obviously, like, hormones could be,
mm-hmm.
right? Estrogen, progesterone, they affect, like, our stress response system.
They do. I want to be really careful. So I'd rather you be speaking about the gender differences than I, because it of course is up to the individual,
mm-hmm.
and hormonal influences of different levels of intensity at different times of life,
right.
different times of month. So they influence those things.
Right.
Right.
It's funny that we're talking about this, because I've worked with a lot of women that are premenopausal, perimenopausal, menopausal, or postmenopausal. And I find that this group of women has less fear about, like, living their lives and moving forward and saying, screw this, I'm not going to take it anymore, than any other. I just find it fascinating. And I wonder if that's I know that it's part of it. They've documented this, that it is part of your decreasing estrogen. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also wonder, for so many men, mm-hmm. and not all, that there's a tendency to try to overcome the underlying fears and anxieties with cognitive, trying to think it through.
Right.
Or action steps, as opposed to allowing themselves to feel the fear or anxiety or underlying rumination that comes with that. So it often tends to become cognitive choices. And this is what I'm going to do, in action steps. But then again, of course, it all comes down to the individual.
Right.
And how many of those gender roles are learned societally, mm-hmm. and from our families, et cetera, as far
cultural.
As different weight, cultural.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about a variety of things. Let's talk about let's get into more specifics with fear and anxiety and panic, et cetera. So fear
versus anxiety.
Yeah. So let's start with that. Fear is very much about, it's like a trigger hair response of something that's happening in the moment that's challenging our ease and ability to survive. There is a threat. There is an immediacy. It is we suddenly will go into an altered neurological state in response to that, very typically a highly driven sympathetic fight or flight response.
And you just said that it's something in front of us, but we can actually bring that up with our imagination.
Sure. I guess I meant to say in the immediacy of the moment.
Right.
It's here in this moment that I'm experiencing the fear, because I'm imagining, seeing, feeling, hearing that thing.
It's an immediate, clear, external threat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a very present moment focused, and it's usually short lived. It's usually, you know, it doesn't go on and on and on and on and on and on. It's usually a short lived response we're feeling.
Whereas anxiety.
Yeah. So anxiety, by its inherent nature, is about the future. It's about something that's going to happen. It's usually not as short on the time frame. It's actually often kind of this vague, ongoing, it's coming. Chronic. I don't know when it's going to happen. I can start worrying about it weeks in advance, months in advance even.
Right.
And I'm living in this anxiety, this mild fear-like state that's ongoing for a period of time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess one way to look at it is like an example of seeing a snake, right? Like seeing a, you're walking and you're having a hike and you see a snake and you jump. Like that's the immediate fear.
As opposed to next week, I'm going on a hike and there might be snakes there.
And I'm already, and already
I'm feeling those feelings about that, that sympathetically driven worry, concern, fear about something that I'm not even sure is going to be there.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're closely related, but they are different.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if we take that to a whole nother level, right, if we start looking at this kind of chronic anxiety state that's sustained, that's ongoing, we also develop different strategies around that, right? We develop avoidance strategies.
Mm-hmm.
We develop, that's the primary one, or we get used to sitting in that sustained state of anxiety. And if it moves to a level where it's actually unreasonable, mm-hmm. it's not here, it's not going to be, then it can start to move into those phobic responses, which are really those, I don't want to say exaggerated, really strong responses to that target.
Yeah.
And that, again, has a very future-orientedness to it often.
Mm-hmm.
And if it takes it to another extreme as far as neural activation, it can actually show up out of nowhere and actually become a panic attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So if we start to look along that scale, I mean, and that can be very serious. People, you know, it can feel like a heart attack. It can feel like something very dramatic. And on top of which, you know, and I've seen this in my clients that have a history of panic attacks, is not only are there the panic attacks, but then there's the anxiety and worry about having a panic attack
yes.
which can then actually bring on
a panic attack. Absolutely.
A panic attack as well.
Yeah.
So all of these things, so let's talk about that, because when these things happen, sometimes they're very explainable. Like I had this, you know, let's just take a fear response to a snake or flying in a plane or whatever, that I may have had a direct, significantly adverse experience that had to do with being in a storm on a plane.
Sure, like a client of mine that had her male cousins throw a bag of snakes at her, you know? Like that's, you know where that came from.
Mm-hmm. Or I got bit by something, right?
Right?
I mean, all of those things. And then they can become something that has an ongoing fear and phobic response about them.
Right.
But it's not always that way.
No.
Right? In other words, how many times have you found with clients that the fear or phobic response or real anxiety about something that can be so exaggerated and so life-consuming that didn't actually start with something directly related to that?
Well, but that can happen. But what I find really interesting and fascinating is when we are able to find that really early trigger that is now happening on a subconscious level. Like, for example, in my book, I write about someone that was really phobic around bald men. And the connection was that there was a trauma that happened where there was a Bozo the Clown on the shelf. And they didn't realize that those two things were connected. And it took safety, rapport, time to work through like the presenting triggers to really get her psyche to feel comfortable enough to then reveal that connection. And oftentimes I've seen like I've seen this more than once, and it's just wild how somebody can have a phobic response to a spider when the spider happened to be in the corner somewhere of a room where bad things happen, and their brain made that connection that snakes are dangerous.
Yeah. I mean,
it's wild. It's fascinating work.
And again, the layering of not only do I have this fear, anxiety, future facing anxiety about it, but I also then criticize myself.
Yes. Judgment. About
and judgment you. Myself yeah. for having this rational
Why
or irrational
I get
fear.
Over it? It's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's not logical, like all of that. And it's not. It's a body response.
And then not only that, but then it starts to have an interpersonal nature, because the moment I don't want to be seen that I have that.
Yeah.
And if somebody makes a comment about that, I can then start to attack or get defensive. So now I start to have interpersonal conflicts around my fear that I may or may not be aware of its initial causal, you know, pieces.
Sure.
And so it can become very layered and can really start to limit somebody's life to the point that they don't even realize all the choices that they're making.
Yeah.
I just don't like to hike. You know, I'm not a nature person.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Or dating someone and you think that they're aloof, or they're, you know, they're into themselves, or they're stuck up or conceited, when it's really that the person has a lot of social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And feels uncomfortable sharing that, because that's pretty vulnerable.
So when we're working with somebody that's dealing with this, you know, a first step is, I mean, there are many different steps, but often when I begin, a lot of times when I'm beginning with EFT, I have somebody imagine something happening in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes imagining something in the future may not be the gentlest way, because they
like
feel
I'm gonna die.
Like I'm going to die. So that might not be the best way to go. And I often have them go back to a recent time that they experienced it, because they know they didn't die from it.
Right.
So that's one thing to consider.
Right.
Teaching them how to just tap in the moment of them feeling the fear or the anxiety, even if they're just silently tapping.
Yep.
Right. Even if they're silently tapping, and whether they're focusing on the thing or even letting their mind wander to something else and just regulating their nervous system.
Sure. Orienting tapping. silent tapping, stealth tapping, so many ways that you can self-regulate when the fear comes up.
Mm-hmm. But ultimately,
to
really work through that.
So that we extinguish the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you might want to look at doing your personal peace procedure journey. And then if oftentimes these things are really hidden to us, especially if they've been around for a long time. So that's where it really is. Very helpful to seek the guidance of a practitioner, a skillful practitioner.
Yeah. And when you're tapping and you're starting to work through those specifics, how effective it is to have, even though I have all this fear of cockroaches.
Right.
Right?
It's a little bit global.
It's global. And so starting to work on something about the cockroach.
Right.
Something
about the way that it crawls, or the way that it might jump on me, or the way that it scurries, and getting more specific is better.
And an imagined example of me running into one, or the last time I ran into one, and you know, and working our way back in time to the first time that something happened over time and over safety. Yeah.
Great. I think this has been a great show. I think anger, sadness, fear, shame. Next is shame.
Okie dokie.
Right.
We'll get there next time.
Thanks for joining us today at EFT Nation. And remember that you can find show notes and previous episodes at EFTTappingTraining.com.